So the three things I wanted to cover in the next 12 minutes, which is going to be interesting, is basically, you know, why do we need to really be concerned and focused on building the workforce QI capacity? I think Cheryl's already made a good case for that, but I'll add a little bit more. And then I'm going to share with you how we're doing this in North Carolina in our local health departments and our state health department in practice, and then share some of our results with you. And unfortunately, like everyone else, I have nothing to disclose. So anyway, here are just some reasons I believe that building the QI capacity of the workforce is really critical, and I think a lot of these you're very familiar with. The one I like to start with, the big picture. You know, we know that despite spending usually twice what other developed countries spend on health, our outcomes are usually around 40s if you look at them in international comparisons, and that's really disturbing. And then I think, as all of you know, our both at the federal, state, local, and probably nonprofit level as well, the resources are very, very tight and becoming tighter. And I think the future for that is going to continue to be very difficult. So we're basically being asked to do as much or more with less resources constantly, and that's a constant battle. And there is a lot of, I think, awareness about the importance of quality improvement, but when you look at our workforce, we have very little capacity in our workforce. Very few people learn this in school. You know, Cheryl's program wasn't being developed in the last 10 or 20 years. And as Cheryl showed you, there are very few programs in the country that really focus on this in quality improvement. But anyway, there's very little capacity in the workforce, either through school or through experience. Sometimes we'll see somebody who maybe is in a hospital or a healthcare setting that's come over into public health, and they bring some of that with them, but quite rare. And also the organizations, the ability to really have a continuous quality improvement infrastructure is also lacking. So the not only is the workforce lacking in this experience, but really the leadership in the organization too does not have the support for it. And then another thing that, you know, I think is really highlighted by the Affordable Care Act is, and whether or not, you know, how that sort of plays out, you know, with the election and everything, it doesn't matter, that health reform is really moving through. And there's a big push for public health and healthcare to work more closely together. And I think we can all agree with that. And what's driving that, there's good reasons to do that besides this, but what's really driving that is the costs of healthcare in this country, which are just really eating us alive. So anyway, the thing there is by building our capacity to do quality improvement, healthcare sort of had a jump start, I guess, in terms of doing this, and has been building capacity quite a bit longer. We'll be able to collaborate with healthcare settings and partners using the similar methods and approaches with quality improvement. And then another thing that's big, you know, in the last 5 years or so is the push for accreditation. And, you know, accreditation, the national FAB accreditation, really rests on the assumption that you're able to continuously improve. You know, through the accreditation process, you're going to find gaps. You're going to need to be able to address those gaps and use an evidence-based approach to that. So I won't say a whole lot about our center. We don't have a lot of time, but the main thing here is we're really all about that last line there in the mission, about really developing continuous quality improvement in our workforce and in our organizations. So here are some of the things. We've been doing the training. I'm going to share that with you in a minute, some workforce training for the last 3 years. And here are some of the things that we've learned are really critical through this. First of all, and this is something we knew going into that, you've got to have an experiential kind of program when you're doing quality improvement. The only really good way to learn quality improvement is to do quality improvement. And that's true for most things, but I think it's really true for quality improvement work. It's also nice to do experiential training because not only are you developing the workforce, you're actually making improvements at the same time through, you know, using project-based learning. So that's another advantage. The other thing that's really critical is to start thinking about sustainability and spread of QI from the beginning. And I think one thing that we really learned quickly is the importance of working with leaders from the very beginning to talk about how they're going to spread and sustain quality improvement within their organization, and not just being focused on the projects, but what's the future for the organization. And kind of related to that, again, working with the leaders to focus on building the infrastructure for quality improvement and sort of starting to develop the culture, to do things to improve the culture in the organization as well. Another thing that's been very important in our work is to use proven quality improvement methods. And it's kind of like, and we all know this in public health, we try to use evidence-based strategies when we can, when we know what works, and why, you know, recreate the wheel and come up with your own QI methods when we know there's some that work. We have chosen two that have been used for many, many years in industry. The good thing here is these two methods are often used in healthcare, so it really allows that partnership ability. One is called LEAN. That's not an acronym. It just means literally lean, as in removing waste, which had its origins in the automobile industry, actually. And then the model for improvement, which is one that's often used in healthcare, is another method that we use. And then finally, another critical thing is when we're working with these teams that we work with, it's really important to have experienced faculty, you know, teachers to work with them, because when you start doing quality improvement in an organization, all kinds of things happen, unanticipated and anticipated, but you'll run into a lot of barriers when you're trying to make change. And it's really important to have a guide that's experienced to help you get through that as a team. So those are some of the key ingredients, I think, that you need in any kind of quality improvement workforce training. So let me just tell you a little bit about our program. This is the sort of the entry level. We call it Quality Improvement 101. Some of you may be familiar with the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's Breakthrough Series Collaborative. We took that model because we knew it worked very well in healthcare and sort of adapted it to public health. But anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about how that's typically done. So typically, you may have a large number of teams often in these Breakthrough Series collaborations. You may have 20 to 50 different teams working on a project and learning QI while they do that. And then each team will be working on the same kind of work, so that allows collaboration, and that's why they, you know, call it a collaborative. It really allows that. So, for example, a collaborative might address, in healthcare, it might address asthma care, something like that. They typically last about a year, and they typical collaborative, they'll have 3 2-day workshops that are sort of spread throughout that year, and then in between they're going back home and working on their project and kind of doing making the changes and learning as they go. So we made a few adaptations to this for our training program. First of all, is we thought with organizations that had never done quality improvement, it's really important to start off with something that's strategically important to them. So rather than us picking the topic and having them all do the same topic, we allow each team or each organization to pick their project. So that's kind of different. So we have to support all these different kinds of projects in the training. The other thing is we've shortened the program, so people want to kind of get through this pretty quickly, as much as, so we've tried to shorten it from a year to 8 months, and we've been able to do that by, for one thing, by doing 2 2-day workshops instead of 3. And often when you're doing the same topic, you need a whole workshop just to go through the evidence-based strategies for that topic, like asthma. But since we don't do that, since we're supporting all kinds of different projects, we can just really focus on the QI training. The things that we have added, though, is a coach for each team to kind of coach them through the process, and it checks in with them regularly. So that helps, I think, in the learning process. And then something called a Lean Kaizen event, which is really just where the team blocks off the schedule for 4 or 5 days and intensely, you know, over that 4 or 5 days does a lot of work together. And they have an on-site facilitator who's, you know, experienced with Lean that comes in from sort of an industrial setting and helps kind of, you know, put a fresh set of eyes on the problems, but also to really coach and facilitate those events. And so we find they make, often in that 4-day event, they'll get about 4 months worth of work done if they were, you know, meeting on a weekly basis for an hour. So it's really a nice efficiency strategy. Just want to give you a little bit of progress in North Carolina. We have 100 counties. We have 85 local health departments. This is sort of our progress to date in terms of the groups we've worked with. You can see we're sort of beyond the tipping point. We have a huge amount of interest in this. I think we're up to like around 58 or so health departments, as I recall, out of the 85 in North Carolina. So, and actually, since the first year, we've had a waiting list, and we still have a waiting list. So we found there's tremendous demand for this. And I think part of that, too, that's special about North Carolina that's going to, I think, happen now more nationally is that North Carolina long ago had a mandatory accreditation program. And I think when health departments go through accreditation, they really see the value and the need for quality improvement. So I think that's been some of the reason our local health departments have been so interested. We also work at the state level, and so with funding that came, a year later from CDC, the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, we've been able to start doing a similar training program for our state. And so these are some of the programs we've worked with state level, including some of our consulting groups that go out and work with local health departments. And this year we've decided, particularly I think with the national accreditation program, that we want to offer this nationally. So we're starting to spread out and offer this in other states as well. Then here are just a few examples of some of our projects. In North Carolina, our local health departments do provide, a lot of them provide a fair amount of clinical care, so a lot of them will have clinical projects. So these are just a few examples of those. And they range from working on effectiveness, like the increasing immunization rates from 71% to 86%. That's one of the outcomes of a project that a team used during the program, to efficiency, and that's another common one in clinic settings, is there's a lot of inefficiency. So you can see here a child health clinic that reduced their total visit time for a visit from 2.5 hours to 1.5 hours. We also have had teams tackle population health problems, like that second one there where they worked at the county level on getting seniors to build preparedness kits or add to their existing preparedness kits at the county level. And then also some programmatic ones like that last one in the heart disease and stroke prevention program at the division, where they were really looking on their efficiency in getting reports out. Here are a few evaluation results from one of our groups. You can see their confidence in that's zero. The confidence in conducting a quality improvement project when they entered, and then after going through the program, up to about 70%. We'd like to get that up to higher than that, but definitely a big improvement. Some of the other results that we have 100% or all of them have shared methods and tools with their coworkers. So that's something we really stress to spread it throughout the agency. And actually about over half of them spread it to 10 or more individuals within their health department. Another thing we look at is the culture score. We have an assessment of culture that we look before and after, and we've seen the culture scores also increase by 6% from the beginning of the program to the end. So that's something that takes many years to change, but it's kind of good to see that positive progress. I won't go into a lot of detail here because I have very little time, but just another thing that we've learned is important is to measure return on investment in all of our projects. QI involves a lot of upfront investment, and so for it to be able to really, you know, make the case for spreading it and make the case with leaders, you've got to be able to show that you're going to get a return on that upfront investment. So we do analyze return on investment. This is just an example. The thing to point out here, as in this tobacco branch, is sometimes the investment goes back to the community, and some it'll go back to the tobacco branch. But this is an example where most of it actually went to the community, and that's fine. That's what we want to see. And this is one of the more remarkable ones. It was because of the impact of the project they had. They had a huge return on investment, over $100,000 in cost savings in the first year. We try to share what we are doing. So the thing I wanted to show you here is, and I'm running out of time, but is that because I've had to kind of go through this quickly, the 2012 January-February issue of the Journal of Public Health Management Practice is focused on quality improvement, and we have four case studies of health departments that went through our program and sort of their results, how they did and all that. So you can see more details there. We also have a fifth article in there that's an evaluation of the first years of our program, so you can look at that as well. The other thing I'll just end on is after going through this experience, it's important for that sustainability and spread to have someone to lead quality improvement efforts in the agency. So we have a quality improvement advisor program, we call it. So here the focus is, it's a very similar training. It's about 8 months. It's experiential, a little more webinar and distance learning and less face-to-face. But the focus here is on those individuals and helping them learn to be able to support QI teams and teach others in their health departments and kind of continue that progress, but also to help the leaders in building the infrastructure and changing the culture for quality improvement in the agency. Okay, so I'll wrap up. And here's just some results from that. The major outcome we're looking for there is their confidence in being able to help others do a quality improvement project as a coach. So this is something we look at. And coming in, about a third of our participants were confident, and it's up to almost 90% by the end of the program. So anyway, I'm sorry that's so brief, but feel free to contact me. That's my email address. Our website, we are going to a new website, and I'll put that down at the very bottom if you come back to this in a a few weeks, you can go to that more directly. I also put a link directly to the programs on our website in the middle there, so you can click on that as well. So before I leave, I just want to say one thing. I do want to thank our partners in this work, which is the Gillings Global School of Global Public Health. It's so hard to get used to say that. The Institute for Public Health there, the Industrial Extension Center at for services at NC State, that are our lean experts that we work with, and then our North Carolina AHEC program. Thank you very much.